Well, good morning. I have my tea this morning with me. Thank you for prayers, Pastor Ken. I'm just on the other side, on the mend as well. This last week, it was one of those, I don't know what it was, like a cold, flu, whatever you call it, just hit me. And usually my schedule, I'm okay. I'm pretty good when it comes to planning. You know, I have like an idea what I want to speak on Tuesday, Wednesday, I do some research. Thursday is my sort of like a focus day, but Thursday I woke up and I started feeling really sick. Well, it's kind of started feeling really weak. And then as the time went by, Friday and Saturday, yesterday, I was pretty much out. And thankfully, last night I finished my message to share this morning with you. Now, the reason I share that is because we often get distracted with things that are not important, don't we? Sometimes urgent things take place and we get distracted and we don't do what we need to do. I don't know if you're anything like me. Back in the day when I was in school, it happened to me multiple times when I had assignments. You know I have an assignment, I have to finish it by a certain date, and I set all the reminders and all the people and friends to remind me about this assignment that I have to submit a certain time, and somehow something always gets in the way, and then you kind of just keep delaying, and it's like doing last minute upload before midnight assignment because it has to be submitted. Thankfully, I passed those classes. And it's not a good way to live. It's good to plan. It's good to have a vision. It's good to kind of like organize your life. And that's what we're going to be talking about this year as our theme is vision focused. It's not only vision and it's not only focused, it's vision focused. And what does that actually mean as we go into this new year? Before I go there, do you ever get distracted yourself? You have something you need to do, you need to accomplish something really important, or people that you know you need to reach out to, they're really important in your life, and you just get distracted, and then you find yourself a few weeks later, you look back, you're like, what was I thinking, right? So we all go through that. Now, you might have heard about the term vision in a business world. In a business world, they talk about this word vision as a vision statement for a company or for a nonprofit or whatever it is, organization. But lately, there hasn't really been a lot of, if I cough, I'm going to try to cough the other way. Hasn't been a lot of, I mean, I hear the word vision, but it's not really as popular as, if you talk to young people nowadays, young people will say goals, plans, and then the conversation will go like, what's your goal? What's your plan, you know, for this certain thing that you want to do, or it's this certain thing you have going on? You know, nobody's going to come to you and say, hey, what's your vision for today? You know, what's your vision for this? And what, it's not like a common language that we use, but when people say, you know, I have something I want to build, I have a business or whatever, this is my goal and this is what I want. I have a relationship and this is my goal. And I, you know, and goals are sort of like a, it's a common word that we all know, we all familiar with. And out of that came this hashtag relationship goals. And everybody's talking about how you've got goals for your relationship. And then you got all these things. And so plan, goal, like those are kind of like more common words. And when people say vision, it's sort of like not really common. And it's mostly when you read the Bible, there's a lot of references on vision. There's actually over 100 times word vision that's being used in the scripture. Plan, word plan is being used about 205 times, and the word goal only 4 times. And it's not even referring to setting a goal to accomplish something. It's something completely different. But when it comes to vision in the scripture, it's basically usually has something to do with a future that is to come or to happen. You know, usually if there was a prophet, he had a vision to announce something was about to happen. There was a lot of prophecies about Jesus and how he was going to come, the Savior, the Messiah, and a lot of them came to pass. There's a lot of visions that came to different disciples about the future, and one of them was John. And if you read the book of Revelation, the book of Revelation is actually a vision about what will happen in the end times. And we are, I believe we're in the end times. And you're looking at these are the things that will take place, and this is the vision that John had. And when we read that, we try to align our life with that vision and try to live that life. And that's what vision really is. What vision is, it's sort of like it's the future. It's what, how we want things to see. And in our own mind, if we were going to take this vision word and really apply it to us today and this year as we kind of go forward, it's a preferred plan for a future. It's sort of like a picture of ideal future that we have. And as a definition of vision, this is what it is. It's a clear mental picture or what could be, fueled by the conviction that it should be. So it's a clear mental picture of what could be, fueled by the conviction that it should be. Now, we've seen in Christian circles a lot of people have gift of vision. We were in a meeting once, and people will come and say, I had this vision, this epiphany, I saw something, and they share and they encourage people about certain things. I've had a lot of prophecies and vision over time, growing up in church, over my life. And I remember when I was 13 years old, when I committed my life to Christ, when I was baptized at the age of 13, I remember at that time, I had this mental picture of what I see myself like in the future. And this was simply it. I want to serve God. That was my mental picture that I had at the age of 13. And here I am 25 years later, still seeing it, standing with my vision, this mental picture being fulfilled right in front of my eyes. But I didn't know how it would all come together, what would take place. None of those things I knew at the moment, but I had this mental picture of, you know what, I want to serve God. It was obviously definitely deposited in my heart by God. And it was God's vision that I wanted to live out in my life. But I didn't know, I didn't even have any kind of idea, well, you know, I'm gonna be in ministry or this and that. Whatever that looked like, I didn't really care. I just wanted to serve God. I wanted to give my life to Him. And there was a lot of decisions that I made along that path. And how do we know what's really the right God's vision? Well, we look to the Word and we try to align it with the Word of God. And that's how we know whether it's God's vision or not God's vision. And at the time when I was 17, turning 18, some of you know the story, as I was about to kind of make a huge decision of what would happen, at that time, praying, making a decision, basically, what will I do next? How will this future play out? How will this vision, my life, play out? It wasn't clear at the moment, but I just know that I want to serve God. And I remember at that time, my dad told me, you know, whatever it is, it aligns with your feeling that God has given you in your heart, you should do, because it's God's will for your life, whatever that is. And a lot of you know the story. I've prayed. It was sort of like impossible. Immigration was really impossible at that time. Couldn't get a visa. It was impossible, basically. And I just prayed. My dad said, just pray, see what happens. If it's in God's will, it's going to happen. And it did happen. Two weeks later, I got my visa. And then here I was in Canada. From 13 to 17, 18, I ended up being here. But I had this mental picture, I want to serve God. I didn't know how it was going to look like, but I was following along the steps that God was leading me. And sometimes we have this idea, and we have a plan, and we have a goal, and something God even deposits in our heart. And you know, it's not fully certain to us how it will come about, how it will look like, how it will pan out. But the first step from even this story that I share with you, for me, was to seek God in His will, in His vision for my life. It's really important to commit your life and your plans and what you have to God first. So there was an individual in Scripture we're going to point out and talk about in a minute, Nehemiah, who's had the vision, he had a plan, and we'll talk about how he got this vision, all that kind of stuff. But before we go there, sometimes we just don't have any kind of plan, any kind of vision for our life. Do you have a plan? Do you have a vision, some sort of vision of what you want your future to be like? And This here, what we have here, represents, you might have seen this before. It's like a vision board, and a lot of companies use this, and a lot of people use this to kind of just have like preferred futures, what things that we want to see happen. But this is how most of people's lives look like. Blurred, confusing. They got the career, the money, the finances, the church, relationships. It's all blurred out. Or maybe if you're young, all you're focusing on right now is relationships. That's all we care about. That's all I want right now. I don't want any of these things. But you're not thinking about that all of these things make up your life. What's your plan for your spiritual life? What's your plan for your finances? What's your plan for your relationships, for your marriage, for your church, for your calling, for your career? Do you have a vision of where you want to see yourself, where you want to be? Did God put something in your heart? And this is how most people live. They want their life to be successful, but yet they have no plan, they have no vision or goal for their life. And then even in all that, when we include God in our life, we don't talk to God, we don't consult God, we just go with the flow and we just go through this life, go from one day to another, doing ridiculous things, focusing on the wrong things, and then find ourselves struggling and not having a real clear plan. And this is what the life of when God comes into the picture, this is what the life looks like when God comes into the picture and we actually consult God and we actually want to plan together with God. We can just switch that. Is things just come to clarity? Can we have that switched? There we go. Things just come to clarity and purpose. And all of a sudden, we get this life of purpose and life of significance when we include God into putting him in our picture. And we can, together with God, plan and say, okay, God, this is what I would like to see for my partner, for my marriage, this is what I want to see for my health. This is how I want my spirituality to be. This is how I want my finances to be, my friends, all of these things. This is my plan, and I would like you to help me fulfill this plan for my life. In the business world, they talk a lot about goals, like I mentioned. Do you have a goal? Do you have a preferred future, or what you want your future to look like? Now, some of us have really bad examples in our own personal lives. For example, you might have come from a home that didn't have a really good marriage, so you don't really want to get married because you feel like, you know, your dad has been married 6 times and you just don't want to do that because that's what you saw your whole life and you don't have that in your picture. But then you go to Bible, you read about marriage, you're like, oh, this actually can work. Marriage is actually God's plan for us. Not for everybody. For some of us. And then you're looking at other things in life and you're like, okay, well, how about this and how about that? And you're looking at about all these things in your life and you realize, well, God has a plan for every single area in my life for me. And how do I get myself aligned and focused on what God has for me, and his plan, his goal, his purpose, his dream? Our dreams and our plans. You know, on 31st of December, we were all here, and we had this paper to fill, trusting God for 2025. And it was things that we wrote down. If you were here on the 31st of December when we had our service, you probably filled this paper out. You brought it up. We prayed together. We committed. This is trusting God. If you see some of the goals, some of the prayer requests, this vision board, you can call it a prayer list. You can call it a wish list. You can call it a dream list. You can call it trusting God for in this year, whether it's for this year or whether it's for your whole life. That's what we are to do. And in Habakkuk, actually, there's a verse that talks about writing down the plan. And I'm just going to read that verse really quick. Habakkuk 2:2. We read this last week. Then the Lord said to me, write my answer plainly on tablets so that a runner can carry the correct message to others. Write it down. Put it down. If you haven't put it down, if you haven't put down your vision, your prayer request on that cross even, write it down and put it somewhere so you can see it and it can be something that you're focusing on. Usually the most important things end up here. And that's got to do, kind of fall under any of these areas, whether it's family, relationships, finances, and on and on and on. So Before we came into this picture, God created Adam and Eve, and he had this perfect vision, perfect plan for the humanity. He wanted them to enjoy their life in the garden. You've heard the story. He put them there. He told them, do all of these things, enjoy life. And then they decided to rebel and say, no, we're going to take things in our own hands. And then they sinned, and they fell short. They sinned, and the preferred future and vision of God's plan for their life was broken because they separated themselves from God. And many times in our life, if we are separated from God, we will not have a clear vision for our life and the purpose that God has for us. Before we go to Nehemiah's scripture, do you know what your priorities are in life? What's the most important thing in your life? If you don't, I'll give you a quick list. We've gone through this so many times, but I'll go through it again. But before I go to the list, people will ask you, and people will come to the end of their life, and they'll wonder, what made this life successful? What makes this life being a true success? Well, in order for us to answer that question, we need to answer, well, what is failure? And I found this definition of failure that I think it just illustrates really what I'm trying to zero in on this morning. And this is what it is. Failure is being successful at things that don't matter. I'm going to say it one more time. Failure is being successful at things that do not matter. So what is success? Well, success is succeeding at things that God had ordained for us. That's what success is. And what vision focused really means, it's about being successful at things that matter, not to you, but to God. Now, I know you have things in your life that matter to you, and we're going to go through a few of these things, but how are we going to know what matters to God? How are we going to find out? Well, we just go to Scripture. Scripture has all the answers that we need. And one of the answers that Jesus gave to the disciple to the Pharisees when they came, they said, there's all these commandments and all these things. And then Jesus replies, he says, well, you know, just love, forgive, respect your parents and all these things. And the young guy said, well, I already do all that stuff. I'm already righteous, am I not? Like I do. Actually, that's a different scripture, but I'm going to go to another one. There's a lot of laws. There's a lot of things that people think I need to follow. I need to do this. I need to do that. And then Jesus says, no. Let's just summarize this whole thing in one simple statement. Love God and love others. That is the most important thing in your life, for your life right now. That is the commandment that Jesus has given us. And if you take the whole Bible, all the 66 books, and you say, I never read the Bible in my entire life, or I don't even want to read the Bible, tell me the summary of the Bible. The summary of the Bible is love God and love others. So we illustrate that even in our vision mission statement, which is life with God, life with others, life with purpose. If we're going to have some sort of order of priorities in our life, and if we don't want to get off track and have a plan, this is a really good starting point for us. We are to love God and love others. That's the vision that you can start with and you can be confident in, that you're going to be doing something, you're going to be living a life with purpose. Now, the lack of vision in our life will rob us of blessings and keep us out of God's plan and purpose. That's what the lack of vision will do in our life. But when we have vision and we're clear about where we're going, things will fall into place. And then priority list, I'm going to share this priority list that's been shared over and over again, but a short priority list because it's important for us to really try to live this out. Because if we don't prioritize the important things, we will get off track. And the first thing that's most important, like we read this in the scripture, is God, our personal relationship with Him, our time that we spend with Him. There's no need for a place. There's no need for you to be at church on Sunday. It is your personal time that you can do with God anywhere. That is the most important thing that you can do in your life. Every day you wake up, that's the most important thing that you can do. Second thing is others. And others, if God has given you a family and you have a family and you have a spouse and you have two children, they're your priority. We've talked about this many times in the past. So the scripture about God in Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all the other things will be added to you." That's why we focus on God first. The second thing is our relationships. If you have a spouse, if you have a husband and a wife, they should be your second on the list. In Ephesians 5, 24-25, it says this, "Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, for this cause, man shall leave a father and mother, and they shall be joined together, and they shall be two in one flesh." Ephesians 5:31 is what I meant to read. That is, that when you join together as one, that marriage becomes a priority after your own personal relationship with God. And then the children. And the children, there's so many verses, but one that I want, that I can read here is Ephesians 6:4, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in training instructions of the Lord." You see, God has given us the children that we would focus on them and we would bring them into this world to be strong in spirit, and that they would serve God and they would have their focus. A lot of these are the three main things. And then everything else, we have also our parents are part of that family, close relationships. We have a lot of singles nowadays that move out and they don't talk to their parents anymore, which is not good. You know, parents are still a big priority, and that's, we find that in Ephesians 6, 2-3. It says, "Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on earth." These are the priorities that we are, this is the order that we are to live. And then everything else that comes after that, church life, our church ministry, and then our work and everything else. And if any of these things fall out of place, we will face difficulties. We will get off track if we don't have this priority list set in our life. We may be in for a wild, painful ride if we prioritize things that are not important over the things that are really important that God has given us to take care of in our life. If we start our day with everything else except God, if we forget to spend time with Him and we just focus on work, 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 or our family just staying there and waiting and we're just work, 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 or we're our children and our spouse is waiting and we're just prioritizing different things, we need to first learn what our priorities are. And then the second part is we need to have a vision for those priorities. And my question for you this morning is, do you have a vision for those priorities? Do you have a vision for your personal relationship with God? See, that's the most important thing. So that means that we are to grow spiritually every single day. We are to mature spiritually. We are to spend time with Him so that we can be stronger in this life. Do you have a vision for your marriage? Do you have a vision for your children? Do you have a vision for how you want your relationship with your parents to be? How you want your work, your church life, and all the things that you're doing in church? Do you have a vision for those things? If you don't, today is the day. We're gonna make those visions clear. Nehemiah, I'm gonna just go through a few scriptures because this book is a big book, but I wanna encourage you to read the book of Nehemiah this coming up week. It's a really important book that will help you see how God moves and how God intervenes, especially when it comes to this whole aspect of vision. I'm going to start with Nehemiah 1:3-4 because that's where things were birthed. But just to give you a little bit of a context of what has been happening, where Nehemiah is from. So he was just a simple layman. The nation of Israel, Jewish nation, they were in exile. They were not, Jerusalem was misplaced. people were misplaced, and they were under the Persian, the king of Persia. This happened all about 440 years before Christ came. And all the people were in distress, and they were vulnerable, they were humiliated, especially because the walls of Jerusalem were broken down, which means that the city was exposed and there was no protection. Anybody could come and go, and Israel's Jewish people were just misplaced. And the king of Persia, he issued a thing. He said, if you want to go back to Jerusalem, you're free to go. So a lot of people did go back to Jerusalem, but a lot of them stayed. And one of them that stayed was Nehemiah, who was just a layman. He was working, and he was actually a cupbearer for this king. And just in the first chapter, everything kind of unfolds in that first chapter of Nehemiah, where he gets the word. And this is the word that he gets. Nehemiah 1:3-4, he says this. They said to me, those who survived the exile, they're back in the province, and they are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates have been burned with fire. When I heard these things, I sat down and I wept. For some days, I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. And here's three important things of the vision that I want to share with you this morning. Every vision in our life is birthed out of prayer and fasting. This is why we do, at the beginning of the year, we start praying and fasting, because we believe and we commit our life to God first. All the other things kind of just fall into place. And that's what we're doing right now. And I want to encourage you, if you haven't gotten on board with us with prayer and fasting, to do that. To start today, start tomorrow, it doesn't matter. But fasting simply is you just giving up time and things in this life that make life interesting, and you replace them with God and spiritual things. Whether it's food, whether it's social media, whatever is taking your time, all the distractions of this life. That's what fasting is, and we are in this period right now. And I just love how Nehemiah, first of all, he heard the news, and his immediate reaction was not even to plan. It wasn't to act. It wasn't to do anything. His immediate reaction was just to sit down and cry. He was deeply moved, sad, and he started crying about what he heard had happened to his people. It's okay to cry. If you're a leader, if you're a man, it's okay to cry. Emotions have been given to us by God himself. And it's good to get those emotions out. When you need to get them out, you get the emotions out. It's okay to cry. But I love how his immediate reaction was not to go and consult his family members, his wife, his children, or whatever was going on. He didn't even think about going to the king, who was, you know, he was a king right away, or any kind of wise person there that he could go and consult and see what he should do. And I'm not saying any of these things is bad, but the first thing that he did, he wept, he cried, and then he committed his life to prayer and fasting. And this is where the vision was birthed. This is where the vision came. It was in his time of prayer and fasting that he got this clear vision. He got clarity about what he was to accomplish. You see, there was a lot of things at that time that he could have done. He could have go back, help people. He could have built. He could have done so many things. And there is so many urgent things for us to do every single day of our life. We have to take care of our family. We have to take care of our kids. We have to take care of all the work stuff. And we are so overwhelmed sometimes. We get all these things we have to do. And because we got so many things to do, we can get sidetracked and not realize what is the thing that God wants us to do right now in this moment that's really important. And what he did is he just sought the Lord. He aligned himself with God and his word, and out of this burden, there came a vision that he wanted to see things change. He wanted to build the wall of Jerusalem. And for you today, if you're concerned about something, if you have a prayer request and you put it, and you have things that you're planning about, and you still have no clarity about for the future, the first thing I would tell you is pray about it. Pray about it. Go to God first. Ask God to show you his heart about that situation. Ask God to give you his eyes. See, the Bible tells us that his thoughts, his ways, they're better than ours. So if we're confused, we can go to him and we can ask him. Nehemiah's vision came clear into focus as he spent time with God in prayer and fasting. And it wasn't right away that he went and did that. It was some time that actually went by. And that's why I believe that every vision will take time to develop. It doesn't just happen right away. Sometimes in some instances it does happen. But in this instance, it had to be some time in preparation for him to go through. See, God gave him the vision, and he had a plan how to communicate this to the people. And as he was seeking God and spending time in his presence, and he was waiting for the right time to talk to the king about what his intention was, there was time to pass by. And sometimes we don't we don't like that word time, because we don't like to wait. We don't like when things take time. We don't like when somebody says, oh, wait, you got to wait for that. We usually say, oh, I don't have time. I can't wait. It's not that the vision is impossible. It's just sometimes it will take time for it to come to fruition. Whatever it is that you're looking forward to see God fulfill in your life. I believe that sometimes for that time to happen, for that time to pass, there needs to come a provision. And whether it's the people or the resources, you know, whenever God gives a vision, if it's a God's given vision, there will always be a provision for it as well. Whatever that may be. Whether we tomorrow decide to build a massive auditorium with 5,000 seats, if it's God's vision, it's his provision. Whatever it is that you decide in your life, if it's God's vision, he will provide. There's nothing that you have to worry about. And sometimes, yeah, it takes time. Just like anything takes time. If you sit in a car and you have to drive yourself to a certain city, it will take time for you to get there. You know, vision sometimes does take time. But once you align yourself with God's heart and his vision, God will most certainly help you through that. And then what happened when he started working on this, he came to the king. And this is what he told king in chapter 2, verse 4. He says, then the king said to me, what is it that you want? And then he said, then I prayed to the God of heaven. Now, notice this. He prayed again before he even opened his mouth to talk to the king. And then he said, and then I answered the king, if it pleases the king, and if it's your servant, if your servant has found favor in his sight, let him send me to the city in Judah where my ancestors are buried so that I can rebuild it. And then the king told him, sure, go ahead, do whatever you need. He blessed him, and it was in the perfect timing. And it was during that time of the waiting, the delay, it allowed, I believe what happened is it allowed, obviously, to prepare Nehemiah, prepare also his heart and the king's heart to refine his vision and wait on God's perfect timing. And sometimes it's about God's perfect timing, not about our timing. We would like things to happen in our timing every time. But it's not about our timing. It's about God's timing. So as we look to what happened and this is what he did to actually be focused on this, it took about 52 days to build this wall, and he was closely involved with it. He was building it. He wasn't a leader that just told people to do stuff and he just sat there, did nothing. He was actually on the wall working on this project. He had a burning passion. He wanted to be involved, and he was leading by an example, and that's what great leaders do. They lead by example. And as he was leading that, he was doing that with probably joy, because he knew what the vision was. And as he was encouraging, people were encouraged, everybody was working, it was all hands on board. And it was like it took him 52 days to build this. But one thing that kept him going was their focus on the vision. And vision without focus will never be realized. it will never be realized. What does that mean? That every vision that we have, that God has given us even for us, will come and will have distractions. Always. And for us to succeed, what we need to do is we need to eliminate these distractions. And they came to Nehemiah, and if you read the story, there was a gentleman, Sanballat, who was evil, didn't like him, wanted to kill him, and he came to him, and he tried to lure him off his work, and he tried to get him down to go have a coffee with him at Tim Hortons, and talk about life, and he told him, I just need to talk to you about something. He tried to distract him off this project that he was so focused on. So not once, not twice, but multiple times over, if you read the book of Nehemiah, he tried to distract him, and Nehemiah somehow heard, obviously, that he was not in for a good ride, that he actually wanted to kill him. So he had a response for this gentleman that was a defining moment for Nehemiah and the vision that was being fulfilled right in front of their eyes. And this is the response that he had in Nehemiah 6:3. So I sent messengers to them to tell them, I am doing important work, so I can't come down. Why should the work stop while I leave it to come down to you? I'm doing important work. I'm doing great work. I cannot come down. That was his response every time they came to him. And that was what kept him on course and focused on what was right in front of him. And just like that, in our life, when we have our priorities right and when we have the vision for our priorities, we are okay to say no. And we are okay to say, right now, I'm doing important work with my family and I cannot come to hang out with you guys. Right now, I'm taking care of my kids and I cannot attend that meeting. Right now, I am having a date with my spouse and I cannot do this project. Right now, I'm spending the time with the Lord right now, and I actually have this on my calendar. I'm meeting with Jesus. I have my planned out to pray, and I just can't call you right now. I'll call you in 3 hours. Yes. You have a response that you can tell all your distractions and all the people that want to distract you off your vision. And the question I have for you is, what vision has God given you? And what is the great work that you cannot come down from? God, your spouse, your children, parents, and everything else. What is the great work that you're doing that you just cannot be distracted from? And I just want to encourage you this morning. If you haven't written it down, you might have a journal at home. You did write things down, and you know, resolutions are good. We write them every year as they come around. I was talking to some of the people. This is some of the resolutions as well that we have here for this year. We have our own ideas and plans and things that we want to accomplish and stuff like that. But don't just focus on one area. You know, a lot of people just focus on one area. I just want to health. I want to be fitness. You know, I want to work out. I want to grow my six pack and all that stuff. And they forget about all these things that are really important. Failure is focusing on the wrong things, being successful at the things that are not important. So look at your life and clearly define, what is it in my life that God is telling me that is important about my life? And then write it down plainly so you can read it over and pray over it and have it in front of your eyes. And you can say, you know what, this is the things that God is entrusting me in. God, this is the great work that I'm doing because God wants me to do it. And then as you write it down, you pray and fast. You spend some intentional time seeking God's wisdom, strength, clarity. Dedicate time to him, whether it's coming even this Wednesday, whether it's morning at 7 or 7 p.m. Dedicate time this week to ask God to align your vision with his vision and his will. And then take the first step. Set those priorities in order. Set those priorities. Create a, if you need to create a little vision board, do it. Or maybe just there's things in your life, distractions, just cut them out right away. Today, you can take one step towards your vision. And that one step, small step, one step after the other, it will build a momentum. And then as we do that, as we take those steps, God is going to meet, he's going to meet us in our faithfulness, and he's going to bless us. So that's what I want to encourage you to do this morning. You might have already written it, you might already have it. What vision has God given you? And if you don't know what that is for your life, for your spiritual life, for your family life, for your work life, whatever it is, you can ask him, and he will show you. You can ask him, and he will show you. So as we all stand this morning, I'm going to call the prayer team forward as well. And you may need an extra prayer this morning. Maybe you were encouraged by this word, and you may need some clarity and some direction. And you may need strength to eliminate some of these distractions that are taking your time in your life. You can come forward. We'll pray for you. It's simple. Just commit it to God. We make everything so complicated. It doesn't have to take 6 months. It doesn't have to take 5 years for you to look back at your life and say, well, where did the 5 years go? I got distracted with so many useless things. You can commit your life to God today. Father, we commit our life to you first. And we want to be vision focused on the things that you want us to be focused on. We want to grow in our relationship with you this year. We want to see what you have for us. We want to follow your plans and your purposes for us. We want to be aligned with your vision, our dreams, God. You know what they are. You know what our desires are. You know what our prayers are. We want to align with you, God, and we want you to help us as we go forward in this year. Give us clarity and give us strength to overcome all distractions and be able to say, I cannot come down. I'm doing important work. Whatever season we're in, that we'll be able to say that, and we'll be able to focus on the important things in our life. We give you praise, we give you honor, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.